My talk is concerned with correct statistical inference in the analysis of time series cross-section data. I have no relationship to disclose. Okay, time series cross-section data are characterized by repeated observations on the same fixed units. For example, TSCS data may consist of repeated annual observations on state, countries, or counties, or at any level of aggregation. Panel data consists of a large number of units, usually individuals, over a small number of time points. But TSCS data, a little bit different. In comparison to panel data, TSCS data have relatively small number of units observed for a large number of time points. TSCS data have prototypically been analyzed in the study of political economy, international relations, and criminology, and also frequently analyzed in health services and public health research. Because of the similarity between panel and TSCS data, many of the same techniques to use to model panel data can be also used for the analysis of TSCS data. However, also because of the fundamental distinction between these two different types of data, methods appropriate for panel data are not necessarily suitable for the analysis of TSCS data. Unfortunately, several properties intrinsic to TSCS data are not fully tested and or addressed in empirical research. So this usual practice has an important limitation because it may have harmful effects on inference drawn from TSCS data. So the main purpose of my talk is to provide an overview of estimation issues related to the analysis of TSCS data. I'm gonna avoid becoming too methodological, so I'm gonna use empirical example. My empirical analysis capitalized on 17-year state level TSCS data to explore relationship between unemployment rate and suicide rate at the state level. This is my starting point, the model one, where I refer to unit level analysis for my data set. This is, that is a state. T is time, that is year. The dependent variable is per capita suicide rates for each state. X is a set of independent variables and include per capita unemployment rates, which is a variable of main interest here. I also control for other potential confounding factors. Importantly, TSCS data could be used to effectively reduce, if not remove, potential bias in regression coefficient in two important ways. First, model one include unit fixed effects, here mu sub i, to control for unit heterogeneity. In other words, unit fixed effect accounts for all unobserved unit-specific characteristics that remain constant over time. Second, equation one also include time fixed effects, here tau sub t, which controls for random time-to-time variation that do not vary by unit. So equation one represents a two-way fixed effect model which controls for unmeasured time-invariant characteristics between units and unit-invariant characteristics between time periods to reduce bias. We may additionally control for unit-specific time trends, but in the case, we must be aware of potential over-specification and multicollinearity problem as well. So, all right, now the main point of my talk is the assumptions on the error term, epsilon IT. If TSCS data satisfy usual OLS assumptions, that is, the errors are independent and identically distributed, then the usual oil S estimation would yield unbiased standard errors and in turn lead to correct statistical inference. Unfortunately, however, this is rarely the case in TSCS analysis. The Gauss-Markov assumption is likely to be violated in five unique ways. First, TSCS data may exhibit panel heteroscedasticity, meaning that error variance likely varies from unit to unit while constant within each unit. To use an example, suicide rates are more likely to fluctuate in less populous states. In this circumstance, different population size can introduce non-constant error variance. Second, TSCS data are often affected by the problem of contemporaneous correlation, meaning that errors from certain units may be correlated with errors from other units during the same time period. Contemporaneously correlated errors exist if there are unobserved features of some units that are related to unobserved features of other units during the same time period. Then third problem is observations within TSCS data are rarely independent along the time dimension. So we expect serial dependence in TSCS data. To use an example, it is not uncommon for suicide rate of a particular state from a one time period to be correlated with suicide rate for the same state from another time period. Fourth, TSCS data may also suffer from spatial autocorrelation. Spatial autocorrelation is frequently a problem, especially when the units are contiguous. So it is a result of geographic clustering. For example, if one county experiences a sudden dramatic increase in suicide rate, it is not unrealistic to assume that the problem could be pushed into other surrounding counties. So, and finally, TSCS analysis assumes stationarity, that is the absence of unit rule problem. Stationarity is a statistical factor that needs to be considered in the analysis of time series data, especially. So the foregoing five potential error problems should be formally tested using proper, suitable statistical technique. I'm gonna provide some example of detection test, especially suitable for panel data analysis, including likelihood ratio test for panel heteroscedasticity, Uduji type F-test for serial correlation, especially first order autocorrelation, and Lagrange multiplier test for contemporaneous correlation, Moran-Sai and G-statistic for spatial autocorrelation, and LLC unit root test for non-stationarity in panel data. In the literature, however, only heteroscedasticity, especially genotype of heteroscedasticity and serial correlation are usually discussed in terms of potential error problems. And data used for this study were stationary based on the test and characterized by all the other four error problems. So it should be properly adjusted. Now, how do you fix the problem? Probably the most popular and most easily computed method is to calculate weighted least squares. Weighted least squares empirically weigh data by the square root of the variable thought to be responsible for heteroscedasticity, usually population size. However, this method appears to be problematic for those who not want to engage in empirical weighting of data. In addition, studies usually calculate robust standard errors in addition to very least skills. However, again, this approach is limited because it just inflates the variance in a post hoc manner. An alternative and widely used method is to calculate generalized least squares. In particular, we can employ the Park method, which is an extension of the basic feasible GLS approach, especially geared toward dealing with multiple units over time. So it could be a very useful empirical technique to deal with the potential error problems, especially panel heteroscedasticity, contemporaneous correlation, and serial correlation. However, this method appears to be old-fashioned and limited. A recent Monte Carlo study showed that the Park approach leads to the downward bias in standard errors unless there are substantially more time points than there are cross-sectional units. Instead, a contemporary approach in other disciplines calculate OLS estimators, which is likely to be unbiased, with panel corrected standard errors, or PCSE. This method was originally developed by Beck and Katz. Here's a typo. It's not BACK, it's BECK. A recent Monte Carlo simulation showed excellent statistical property of this method. And also, this approach became a de facto econometric technique for TSCS analysis, especially in political economy and international relations. So why not applying to public health research? In specific, PSCS approach deals with the problem of panel heteroscedasticity and contemporaneous correlation. It assumes the errors are serially independent. So if errors are serially correlated, we can fix serial correlation by including a lagging dependent variable in the right-hand side of the equation, and then calculate PCSE. If we're not comfortable of including a lagging dependent variable in estimated dynamic panel data model, we can alternatively remove serial correlation using Preis-Winston transformation. So far, I have discussed the three most widely used TSCS data analysis techniques. In fact, none of them deals with spatial or correlation issue. One simple fix to the spatial correlation potential or spatial correlation is to include a spatial correlation term in the right-hand side of the equation as a covariate, which is the approach I took here. So I have only one result table. This table shows estimation result for the two modern approach, the Beck and Katz approach. In panel A, I adopted the Beck and Katz approach and also addressed spatial autocorrelation by including once legged spatial autocorrelation term in the right-hand side of the equation. In panel B, I carried out similar analysis, but additionally, I empirically weighted the data using state population. Therefore, in panel B, I removed general heteroscedasticity by empirical weighting of data. Then I addressed all the other potential error problems using Beck and Katz approach. I dealt with the different error problems in a stepwise fashion from moving left to the right. The numbers I report here are coefficient estimates of unemployment rate and standard errors in parentheses. And the baseline model in the first column assumes independent error term, and we can see the its coefficient estimate is 0.1 and is statistically significant at the 90% level. Now, moving to the right, I first deal with panel heteroscedasticity, then plus serial correlation, then plus contemporaneous correlation, then plus spatial order correlation. And we can easily see, if you look at the panel A result, we can see that standard errors increase as the potential error variance problems are addressed. And if when all the potential problems were addressed, we don't find significant result anymore. However, in panel B, which involves empirical weighting of data, we can detect a little bit of different patterns here. In general, standard errors get smaller when we address more of the error problems, which is a little bit nonsensical. Importantly, the estimates in panel B, weighted estimates, are always highly significant because of larger coefficient and much smaller standard errors. So the conclusion is that the unweighted and weighted result do not agree in this example. So clearly something is going on with empirical weighting of data. Again, standard errors from the weighted data in panel B do not follow what theories expect. So which estimation do we have to choose then? In this example, we may want to go with unweighted estimators. This is my last slide. Just briefly summarize three major take-home lessons learned from this exercise. First, we should keep in mind the potential violation of the Gauss-Markov assumption in TSS analysis, again, including non-stationarity, panel heteroscedasticity, contemporaneous correlation, serial correlation, and spatial order correlation. Standard errors must be properly adjusted based on detection test results. And finally, estimates from empirically weighted data should be always compared to those from original data. And I didn't show here, but additional analysis show we should avoid empirical weighting of data if possible. This is all I have. Thank you very much for listening. Yes, you can. Yeah.
Could you repeat the answer?
I'm sorry?
Could you repeat the answer? I heard the question.
Oh, yes. It can go down to any discrete level or...
Question.
The question is, whether, this can be applicable to Massachusetts case. So, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so in the case, 25 units. And perfectly fine for TSCS analysis technique that I presented as a modern approach. But if you utilize, if you use feasible generalized least squares, you're gonna get much more significant result because of the small number of units.
Thank you. Now we open questions for the four presenters. Okay, so you can ask a question for any of the four. I would like the presenter actually, come over here and repeat the question and give the answer. Well, I have a question for Dr. Wei Yang. I know you mentioned about, the data linkage in relation to BRFSS. I know also Dr. Lee talked about, some geographic feature when there is a fixed code in GRFSS. So we may be able to capture, you know, the centrality. But you mentioned about individual records linkage. Based on what we learned, usually, you know, the telephone number only have, you know, the digits have an error code, the first three digits, last four digits. But what kind of the key variable you use for linking, you know, for other than STEM, you have a feature SSN, you'll be able to link it, but for the BRFSS,
yeah, that's,
I know that's very kind of confidential things.
That's a very good question. A typical BRFSS designed, you only get your sample frame from the genesis. I'm not sure how many of you are working with the BRFSS. Is anyone? Yeah. I'm just a coincidence. I worked as our state BRFSS project director for many years and also coordinator for the BRFSS. So when you get the data, the sample frame from the genesis, the sampling company, actually many of those cases, they do have the address. Yes, but according to CDC, you're not supposed to, they're not obligated to give you that. But if you have your brand new IRB get approved, then you can request for that through your sample frame. It is challenged, but they do have address attached, but not all of them. Only less than 50% of your samples with the address. So.
Follow-up question. So is it like 50% of the states you're saying, or just 50% of the sample? I mean, do all state data, come with addresses? I mean, all the states. Individuals may or may not have given
the address. Yeah, just naturally, because they got those addresses from the phone companies. Not everybody provide those addresses to the phone company. So even they give you the sample, they may just naturally doesn't have it. So be prepared, maybe less than 50% of your sample, they're available to give you the address. This is a challenge. I think if I'm just happen to be working in BRFSS and other projects, so I link this together. So you might need to talk to your state BRFSS coordinator on that. It's not always that smoothly. I not only talk to our state, since I'm work director with CDC, I talk to CDC BRFSS branch, several individuals directly. So this is, but if you could, lots of valuable information, very, very important information, if you can link this. I'm thinking, if it's possible, Dr. Zhang, he operate that too. I hope multiple states, maybe we can work together to get a very decent grant working on this, because there's so much information there we can use more detailed. On that, to answer many, many questions. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Any other questions? Well, how about we give applause to all the four presenters.